Father, we praise you for being our God, our Father. Lord, you don't give us all the answers, but you show us and you give us direction. Help us to be in tune with that, Lord, rather than having to have our own way or being dogmatic like I am. It just, Lord, it's better if we can just be open to one another and learn what we can. Be our teacher, Lord. We need to hear from you today, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Daniel took leave from his duties in Cyrus's court and went into seclusion. He fasted and prayed every day from morning to night, begging God to strengthen his people and give them the courage to accept the gift God offered, and that is the restoration of the land and also the worship being restored because of the building of the temple. Why do I know that that's what Daniel is preoccupied with? Well, we just go back a few lessons to where he's praying upstairs and he has the window open. And where is he praying? He's praying directly towards Jerusalem. Now, you just can't drop all that and then wonder where some of these questions come from. They kind of hinge on previous lessons. What I love about this particular section is the moment Daniel began to pray, he was heard. Please know that. The moment you begin to pray, you're heard. And the thing is, usually we want God to change things, you know, make it nicer. But it doesn't always happen that way. Heard, and the angel Gabriel then was summoned like he had been before the throne. God said to Gabriel, his servant, Daniel was in great anguish, but not for himself, but for his people, their trials and their discouragement. That is a really amazing thought when you think about it, because I examine my own prayers, and I say I pray a lot for other people, but I'm not in anguish over it. You know, I just trust that God's going to answer it. It's, I don't know how you look at your own, but that's kind of the way I look at mine. Well, it only took Gabriel a few light years to cross the continents, and then I get back, I get lost on that and think, are we going to fly when we get to heaven? That would be fun. A few crash landings when we get started, but I really believe it. But when he got to Persia, there was this thing over this country. It was a dark figure. It was over the nation of Persia and essentially had a hideous face. Satan had placed, this is going to make a lot of sense next week, Satan had placed him there. It was a demon of some sort. I can't tell you what. But it halted Gabriel in his tracks. And he couldn't get to Daniel. He told them to stand aside, but they wouldn't. But Michael then was, the archangel was dispatched. I don't know if you've ever seen pictures of him, but he has a sword and he's pretty tough hombre. Gabriel isn't. Gabriel is more soft-spoken. He gives the word out. Michael's a tough guy. And they both are tied up with the nation of Israel, as well as others. But you see, then we have to get underneath here what is going on. Satan doesn't want the temple rebuilt. Satan is against the Jews from the day one. You see that all the way through Scripture. It's no accident that Hitler killed so many of them all. Was always with the idea of getting rid of them. So he didn't want these Jews to go back to Israel and rebuild the temple and then rebuild the walls. He wanted them to get lost in other activities. So if you had been living in Babylon, you might have wanted to stay there. After all of that generation had pretty much died off, and this was the next generation. Anyway, he didn't want the temple built because Jesus one day would walk into that temple and present himself as the Messiah. He and his parents would have come in before that. So if he could keep them or delay them, then the Messiah wouldn't come. And that was kind of Satan's thoughts there. But Daniel had prayed for the Jews to return. This is where we got into a little trouble at leaders' meeting. And it seemed to be over the translation NIV. Now, you have to remember, I don't do my questions from the NIV. I do them from the New King James. And so if something doesn't make much sense, then you need to look it up in a different version. Daniel prayed for them to return. And I believe this is the Lord. You don't have to believe that. When I was reading this last summer, I thought of John immediately, the book of Revelation. So he says, I was at the side of the great river, that is the Tigris. I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl. His face was the appearance of lightning. His eyes like torches of fire. His arms and feet were burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words were like the voice of a multitude. I don't happen to know anybody like that. So if you turn over to Revelation chapter 1, then you pick up a very similar figure. He says, of course, he has a different program for John, and it had to do with the churches and Israel. So, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet and girded with the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand 7 stars. Of course, that had to do with the churches. So it is a different situation altogether. But that sounded so much like they were the same person. And when I realized that, then John falls at his feet as a dead person, well, you know, it might be the Lord. Just might. And what happened to Daniel? He fell on his face too. And how about these guys that were with him? Terror fell on them, so they fled to hide themselves. Therefore, this is Daniel speaking, I was left alone when I saw the great vision, and his strength remained in me, and my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep with my face to the ground. And I think that's the Lord. But I'm not going to be dogmatic about it because your translation might have said something different. But I'm going to take it from there that this is who this is. They're both before big time prophecy. John was going to get the whole book of Revelation. And Daniel is going to get something. From our perspective, it doesn't seem like a big deal. But from Daniel's perspective, it's huge. He's going to find out, and that's the next couple of chapters, the future for the nation of Israel. It's not good. And Harry thought it was bad that they weren't going back, but he's going to get a much heavier duty prophecy. So anyway, I believe these both situations validate the prophets. Who was the man? Was he only an angel? No. Without announcement, Daniel saw an awesome sight. And the men, Daniel, Gabriel, this is what made me think it was the Lord, because they got full terror and had to go hide. And that, yet they didn't even see him. They didn't even see who was with Daniel. You know, when you begin to think back through Scripture, this is something that I find so interesting, why I think it's the Lord, is frequently in biblical accounts of salvation history, you find the Lord Jesus Christ appears to his servants as special messengers at special times. And this is something I hadn't thought about, but this further confirms it to me that this is the Lord. So just think of this. He appears to his servants as special messengers at special times, special garb too. To Abraham the pilgrim, Jesus came as a traveler. But to Jacob the schemer, he became a wrestler. Before Joshua attacked Jericho, this is one of my favorite sections of scripture, Jesus came as the captain of the Lord's army. To Isaiah, he revealed himself as the king on the throne. But two Jewish exiles, Daniel in Babylon and the apostle John in Patmos, Jesus appears as the glorified king priest. After seeing the Son of God, both men were given visions of the future events. They were heavy duty, and this is another reason why I believe it was the Lord, because he's preparing them kind of mentally for what was coming. And when you think about it, John leaned on the Lord's breast during the Last Supper, and he was the one that Jesus loved. And yet here he fell as a dead man when he saw this figure. And Daniel's a bit upset too. I can see him, his face flat in the sand. He had to have someone touch him and raise him up, and I believe that was Gabriel. But you don't have to believe that one either. We don't have any names. They were given visions of the future and involved the people in the events that would come to Israel. And it is difficult to understand. But I thought next week's was much harder. Just know the following week we're going to be doing a lesson on the Antichrist. And you'll probably find that interesting, easier to understand. What would happen to Israel in the latter days? It's not a very pretty sight, and we've studied that before. The main thing is that if you pick this up from this section, it's not about the church. It's all about Israel, and it's all about the future. And don't bring the church into it. But we look at Satan's work down through the years, and when Lucifer fell, he took all these angels with him, and they became demons. They opposed Christ. They want these demons to obey himself, Satan. Next week we'll be getting a lesson on Ephesians, or one of the questions on Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, where it talks about we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but we're to put on the whole armor and so on. We've studied that several times. And then we have to remember that Christ defeated Satan on the cross. We can claim that overcoming victory by faith. Draw close to the Lord and he'll draw close to you. Don't ever try to take the enemy on by yourself. Always get some people to back you up in prayer. Always look for verses that will strengthen you. You know, if Michael and Gabriel had problems, then we need to take this fellow seriously. He wants you to take him very loosely. He's not a threat at all. He's that little guy in a red suit with horns and a pitchfork, and he's nothing to worry about. If we're told to put on the whole armor of God and use the word of God in believing prayer to defeat the wicked one. Remember, Christians are never to worship angels or to pray to them. Our worship and prayer belongs to God alone. So if you go home this afternoon and this angel shows up in your bedroom and you say, well, I feel kind of warm and cozy about that, don't test the spirits. We're told to do that. 1 John 5:1, I think it is, or 4:1. We're told to test the spirits. How do you do that? When we studied Paul's letters, we picked it up that in the name of Jesus and by his precious blood, if you are not of Jesus, be gone. He'll go.
Yeah.
And then you'll say, oh, that was kind of fun. No, never look at it that way. You're just opening up yourself to real trouble. Just remember, our worship and prayer belongs to God only. The neglect of prayer is the reason why so many churches and individuals, believers, are so weak and defeated. It just seems odd to me in this day and age that we live in that so many churches have canceled their Wednesday night prayer meeting and Bible study. And any churches that still have that, my hat's off to them. They need to have greater defense during this time. Amen. But didn't you feel that when you saw this bad guy over Persia? That explained a lot of the things that are going on today. I think of ISIS. I can't think of anything more demonic. Chopping off people's heads and, just on and on. And I think of all the terror that Hitler did for the Jews and Stalin killing so many millions and Mao doing the same thing. What is behind that? Just know that there's this evil force that guards these countries. See how important it is for you and I to pray? We really need to be praying for our future and our president and other countries. So important. I did want to tell you that my kids that are missionaries, they have done a Daniel's fast several times to look for God's direction. And what's involved, pretty much the same thing that Daniel did, 3 weeks. And they don't do it, they take coffee out of their diet, just fruit and vegetables. Someone at leaders meeting made a point, well, isn't that what he always ate? Because of going back to year one. But it sounds like that he ate a little bit more as he got older. So. Well, just remember, Satan wants you to believe that he doesn't exist. But the Lord wants us to pray, so Satan's plans might not be filled and their lives not taken care of. The destiny of more than one nation has been changed because the people have fervently prayed. Even though I was pretty little, I still remember during World War II of Churchill having us pray for England, and I believe that's why they survive, and that the English aren't speaking German today because of that. Oh, God looks to our prayer. Daniel's a real prayer warrior. Jesus took seriously the reality of Satan and his demonic forces. Remember when he said, this cannot come out, this is speaking about demons, this couldn't come out except by prayer and fasting. And we just kind of blow over that. But there is a time to fast. He doesn't say if you fast. He always says when you fast. So it's something to think about. Now, I don't know what you do all day long. It may be fasting from television. It might be fasting from book reading. Who knows? I don't. You know, you and the Lord have to work that out. I love the fact that these angels here tell Daniel twice, fear not, be strong, be strong. And there's probably somebody here sitting today that needs to hear that. Fear not, be strong. Daniel needed to hear that message from Gabriel. The battle wasn't over. And as soon as Gabriel finished instructing Daniel, Gabriel would return and assist Michael in battling the prince of Persia, then the prince of Greece. Why would Greece be such an important thing to the devil? It's because Jesus is going to use that to spread the gospel, because people, just about everybody in that area, speak Koine Greek. And though my grandson has taken that in and also Hebrew, at seminary, I don't think he feels the same way about it, but it's a couple of tough languages. But that's why God was going to use Greece. Demonic angels were opposing the plans the Lord had, and of course Satan was against this decision. God also had plans to have people praying for those in authority. He has not stopped that, in case you've noticed. I think it was really important in the beginning of Daniel to find out that God puts up one and he takes down another. He just tells us what to do. He says, pray over them, pray over them. Pray over your president and so on, even though you may not want to, but do so. We pray every Monday for our country. Very important that we do. We don't want Satan's plans to be fulfilled. That's for sure. 2 Corinthians verses 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and even high things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. So important to remember that. I found it took me quite a while in my Christian walk to find out that I'm responsible for how I think. Not what my mother did to me, not what so-and-so did to me, but how I think. And you're to think on things that are right and good and pure. And I would argue with the Lord, well, that's pretty hard to do, God. And he would remind me, then you'll never have success in your walk. You'll never have victory. You're going to be in trouble. Next week we'll get the rest of this. Then we'll get over into the Antichrist and the chapter 12. I have three lessons on 12 because it's very difficult. And we're just going to take a little bit each time. Well, last week I told you about four temples. And I'm just sure somebody went home and said, my teacher said there's four temples. But I want to make it real clear. The first temple was Solomon, and that was destroyed by the Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar. What Daniel's praying so much for is these people to go back, his people, and rebuild another temple. He knows that that's what God wants. Not very many are going to go back. It's apparently pretty nice to live in Babylon. Where do I get this third temple? Out of my pea brain. That's where I get it. Because I've read enough about Israel today to know that they are preparing prefab a temple. And I can just see it coming to pass that the Antichrist will say, this is right. You can put it between this and between that, and you won't disturb Islam. The Jews are going to think, oh, we've got our Messiah. This guy is our Messiah, especially when he rises from the dead. Of course, that's in the book of Revelation. I can't back it up for you biblically. I can't say, look at this verse. All I can do is say, this is what I've read about. So that's why I think there's a third temple. I can't see the Lord Jesus Christ going in to reign from Jerusalem in a prefab temple that Satan has set himself up in to be worshipped. I just can't see it. So that's why I believe there's four temples. But I wanted you to be real clear. I can't get that out of Scripture. It's out of my and some quite a bit of reading. And of course, the fourth temple is Ezekiel's temple. When Jesus returns, is the one of Ezra and Nehemiah, of the one that Daniel's praying over right here. He wants the people to go back and build it. But you can imagine, there's not a stone that has been left not unturned, that they literally destroyed it. So I think I'd have a lot of trouble wanting to go back and rebuild that and the walls. Enough people go back, it happens. We know Jesus walked into that temple. So you have the first one, Solomon, the second one, Ezra and Nehemiah, the third one, the prefab, and the fourth one, Ezekiel. We also know when Jesus returns and sets down on Mount of Olives, it will split in two. Jerusalem will rise, and that's where this fourth temple will be from, and Jesus will reign there. Lots of exciting things in Scripture. This handout, I wanted to say one little thing about it. It's taken from Warren Wiersbe's commentary, but these prophecies, under one, from Daniel's perspective, they had not been fulfilled. From our perspective, they've all been fulfilled. The only one that hasn't been is yet to come are the prophecies regarding the tribulation and the Antichrist. Interesting things to delve into. We don't have all the answers, but we do the best we can. Scripture always interprets Scripture. You're always safe with that. Father, I thank you for your precious word. And Lord, you have much to teach us. There's so much more than we realize. To think that Daniel suffered under Satan's influence, and the angels suffered under that. Help us to take whatever happens in our lives, Lord, is pretty serious, and to get others to pray for us. We might not take this fellow on by ourselves. He's too overwhelming. So help us, Lord, to live a sober, righteous life, godly unto you. If you came this afternoon, we'd be ready to meet you. And we ask this in your precious name, in Jesus' name, name above all names. Amen. Amen.